Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Now firing. Twitter, last week, man, look. Every week with Twitter, there's some new shit. They're saying that Elon Musk sent out a letter to everybody going, look, y'all got to work long hours if y'all about this life.
Excuse me?
You have until 5 p.m. to get with it or get 3 months severance. At 5 p.m., employees started resigning left and right to take the severance. So Elon has now, it is being reported, has locked out hundreds of employees. Because they're not sure which ones are the ones who quit, and we don't want you coming in here on Monday morning fucking up all the computer shit.
This is ridiculous.
The wildest, bro. It's the wildest.
Remember, Ralph, remember when I told you my radio fantasy when I quit radio was to take a sweet tea specifically from Chick-fil-A because it's extra sweet and just throw it on all of the electronics in the back room that controls every... That's what they're scared of. So they have... Elon right now has hundreds of sweet teas on his hands.
Tons of them.
At his company.
Hey, man. I wonder how many private toilets there are in the Twitter building.
There ain't enough turds. Even if you're lactose intolerant, there ain't enough turds.
But if they move as a group, they can get this done.
These people are resigning in record numbers. I don't think they're going to do anything like that.
I
don't know. Ain't nothing wrong with throwing a little turd on the wall. Let Elon know how you feel about this shit.
It ain't like Elon gonna be in the office
nasty
to check it.
Nasty. My name is Roy. This is my job fair. Wednesday is the most beautiful day of the week. It is, do we still call this Thanksgiving? What do we call this, Jacqueline?
The day before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Eve.
This week, the vibe, the festiveness of it all. You know?
Thanksgiving, sir.
You know why I feel like Thanksgiving doesn't get the same love as other holidays?
Why?
You don't get shit on Thanksgiving.
That's fair.
Valentine's Day, you get a gift.
Okay.
Halloween, you get a gift.
Yeah.
Christmas, you get a gift. Your birthday, you get a gift.
Oh, yeah.
Mother's Day, Father's Day, Secretary. Thanksgiving, just sit around the table and just talk about how lucky you are. Mm. Fuck that. Where's my gift? I'm over at your house eating this trash ass macaroni.
Ooh, why would you eat somebody's trash macaroni?
Soggy.
Because you'd be trying to be polite in front of them because they'd be staring.
Yeah, you know.
Motherfucker be there. Thanksgiving is that. That's when the holidays is when motherfuckers make weird shit and then they stare at you while you try it.
Now see.
Like when a rapper play his demo for you, he'd be waiting for you to nod your head.
That's because you're polite.
the rapper's playing the demo while you're at Thanksgiving, right after the prayer. That's when it's bad. That's when it's bad. But I don't know, man. I gotta slide with JG on this one. The faces she's making, everything right about now. Look, man, we all Southern. I don't play about Thanksgiving. I ain't going over nobody random house to eat at Thanksgiving. I'm too old for that. I can't be introduced to new potato salads and people trying turkeys for the first time and all kind of crap. I need to know where the hell I'm eating, bro. I just can't eat nowhere. That's like when you got dreads. Just don't let nobody touch your hair. I don't eat Thanksgiving dinner anywhere, bro.
If you are a Gray, Perry, Moore, you know what you're responsible for in our house. Bring what you're responsible for. Don't make it differently. I don't care what you learned somewhere else, where you tasted something else. Boy. None of that mess. Don't put pineapples in the banana pudding. What is wrong with you?
Who put pineapples in a banana pudding?
She knows who she is. She knows.
Terrorist.
She knows. Damn.
You are. Damn. That, like, I thought you were just talking in general, but that is specifically.
It got real specific, didn't
directed
it?
Directed at a person.
Fast.
Well, you know, JG is the foodie, so you know she takes food serious, yes. So she don't like people disrespecting the food. I understand and respect that. Got a great show today. You know, I don't want you to say nothing else that's going to ruin your holidays, Jacqueline, because right now, but you are a gun owner, so you probably got that thing on your right now. You probably want them to run up.
She is, too.
Good gracious. It's going to go down over some pineapples and some banana pudding, bruh. That's what I'm talking about. Let's go.
Everybody knows that Paula Deen's banana pudding is the best banana pudding. I don't want to hear anything else, but go ahead.
Ventriloquist Jeff Dunham on the program today. We're going to talk about his Comedy Central special that is premiering after Thanksgiving. If you're hearing this after that, go back on the Paramount Plus app and dig it up. I opened for Jeff Dunham one time, third.
Oh, where? When was that?
This was back. This is when he still played regular comedy clubs. Like, you know, he's arena act. Like, he don't do less than 10,000 seats.
Oh. Nah, he does big spots. He does big, big, big spots.
But like, oh, two motherfucker was in Chattanooga on a Thursday. So I got to like that last tour. The ticket. Now, I'm not hating. The tickets was like $50. It was a $50 ticket on a Thursday night in Chattanooga. So I got to open for him. He was a really kind, really cool dude. I'm excited to talk to him about the special. And if there's anybody that we need to talk to about woke culture.
Ooh,
maybe it's Jeff, because, you know, I feel like.
Why?
Because everything. Well, because with the ventriloquist, I don't even know what to call them. Can we still call them dummies?
No.
Yeah, I don't know if that's disrespectful. Are they clock people?
What's the new word?
Clock humans?
For ventriloquist partner.
Partner.
Walter.
Yeah.
His scene partners. The fact that he makes jokes that are sometimes rooted in a stereotype, or start at a stereotype, because I'm not going to say his humor is not lazy, but if he's a white dude doing a Mexican accent on stage pretending to be a jalapeno, is it the fact that he's doing this through ventriloquism? That's not a word.
That is a word.
It is today. Is that why he's able to get away with it? You know, because his comedy transcends, you know, every age. So I'm excited to talk with him. And JG, I understand... couple emails. Let's go ahead and check the old Roy's Job Fair at gmail.com.
We have so much good news in the inbox and some things that made my eyes water as well. But I'll just stay in.
We got no haters. We got no more hating ass Native Americans. Are you happy now? We ran the episode yesterday.
Yeah.
We ran the episode this week in the Job Fair feed. There.
Well.
So why am I being so mean to?
I don't know. When I'm about to tell you that Thomas McClure, a former guest, we talked with him about woodland firefighting and working at an urban Indian health organization.
Episode 30, The Art of the Resignation, September 2021. If you want to dig in the crates on that.
Well, good news. He's been promoted from a health promotion specialist to the director of health promotion.
Oh, word. Congrats, brother. Congrats. That's what's
that
up.
That boy done did it.
That's good stuff,
that
sir.
That boy done did it.
Yes. And Roy, he wants you to know that there are several vacancies that they are hiring for, and he wants people to come apply at allnations.health/careers. Congratulations, Thomas.
Way to go. Good for you, Brother Thomas. good for you. Got the promotion. Don't fuck it up. Make sure you steal shit, because sooner or later, they're going to try and come in.
Just hit me with the greasy fry bread, bro. That's all I ask. The greasy fry bread is where I'm at. I need that. Need that.
We also have things that bring Danielle K. joy. They are Bob's Burger, playing a bass guitar, cereal, a lizard, and listening to Roy's Job Fair. She wanted you to know that those things are all in one group.
Wow, that was diverse.
Well, thank you, Danielle K. We appreciate you.
You're next to a lizard.
I'll take that. Lizards are pretty cool.
And then Danielle C. enjoyed hearing Rhonda talk about her Peloton on the episode, My Wife's Boyfriend. How are you doing on your Peloton, Rhonda?
All right, real quick.
Cody's most outstanding employee of the week.
Memphis, Tennessee, shout out to Shelby County, right there on the wonderful, wonderful Mississippi River. Fox 13, the news crew at Fox 13 was out there and they stopped for lunch or stopped somewhere, one reason or another. And when they came back to the old Fox 13 news van, all the goddamn cameras was gone.
Oh, no.
Wow.
And of course, you chalk that up to insurance, and the average reporter would just head back to the station, get a new camera from the stock room, and keep it moving. Jeremy Pierre, who was a proud employee of Fox 13, woke up one morning and checked his Facebook, and he had a message from a man named Richie.
Okay.
The message to the Fox 13 employee was, "Hey, Jeremy, how do you work the record button on this camera?"
Oh, my gosh.
Son.
Underneath that comment is a picture of the man who stole the camera taking a picture with the camera so that Jeremy can help him learn how to use this super complicated news camera.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
A young gentleman by the name of Mookie.
Not Mookie.
He's probably... Should probably that last name.
Oh, he looks like a Mookie. He look at him. He looks like a Mookie. He's got the little braids.
That's so wrong.
Wow.
I love it.
Wow.
Love Why it. Do you love
if
it?
You're, if,
love
you're, it. If you're about to make Mookie,
I love it.
If you're about to make Mookie the CMO, not only do I like this, I love this, Roy. I
and
love
Richie.
This.
Both of them.
Why?
Of them. I would argue that a lot of crimes are crimes of necessity because poverty begats the choice to be criminalistic.
I'm with you there.
In a lot of instances. Okay, so you have Richie, you have Mookie. These two young brothers go, damn, I really want to make TV and movies. How do we do it? With the camera. We cannot afford a camera. Ooh, look, the Fox 13 news van is right there. And they took that camera, and rather than pawn it, rather than sell it, rather than just let it collect dust, they've decided that they are going to use it. And what better way to use your newfound camera than to message someone who you know knows how to use it.
No.
Mookie and Richie
no.
are simply trying to better themselves.
That's
I do
all.
Not agree with the methods, but I love the motivation. I love the tenacity. And for that,
no.
Mookie
yes.
and Richie.
No.
Yes, both of them.
Of Memphis, Tennessee.
No. Both of them. In the name of Young Dolph, give it to him.
You are
Cody's most outstanding employee of the week.
Brought to you by Sackleston State motherfucking Community College.
You don't know what to do with that either, do you?
Come join our AV club, you two young industrious
men. Yes, indeed.
There's a space for you at Sackleston AV.
Don't you come in this direction. I am disappointed in them. If you're going to take it, don't tell people stuff.
How's they going to learn to use the cameras?
I can tell you this much. When I go to Memphis to do a show, I'm calling Mookie. I know he got a camera on it.
Hey, man.
You better not.
That kid going to work hard for you, Roy. He going to hit you back on Twitter like, how do I use this?
What if I hire him and then the motherfucker steal my microphone? Mm-hmm. I can't even do the show.
Or your cell phone. We have to run after your cell phone.
Worst and first time.
Oh my gosh.
And it's a pleasure to have this person on the show. They have a wonderful, wonderful comedy special that's coming up on Comedy Central and Paramount Plus and all of the wonderful, wonderful streaming sites. JG, who do we have on the line?
We have Jeff Dunham, but you said he's alone. It doesn't look like he's alone.
He's got Walter, wonderful ventriloquist.
Thanks for having us. Good to see you. I don't know if I should be a part of this because I heard what you're going to talk about. You'll be fine. Okay, good. I don't care.
Award-winning and nationally, globally touring comedian and ventriloquist Jeff Dunham. Welcome to the Job Fair.
Thanks.
I open for you. Man, it's like O2 Comedy Catch. This is and
wait,
this is
what?
This is how you'll know I'm telling the truth. It was the early years of you selling the Walter dolls.
Yeah, yeah.
And you sold out second show Friday night, and you still had two more nights in town. It was like, I didn't know that they were gonna buy all of these. I just brought a couple to see how it would go. And people
wait, what town was it? Where was it?
This was Chattanooga, the Comedy Catch. Shout out Michael Alfano.
Oh man! Wow, that was a long time ago. You know what I remember about that?
You do not play rooms with 100 seats anymore.
Okay, so when I was headlining, they would always give me the nicer hotel. There's no nicer hotel.
Before we get into your early days in ventriloquism, let's talk for a second first about the special "Me the People," November 25th, Comedy Central. If you're hearing this after November 25th, it's on the Paramount Plus app, the Comedy Central app. To me, ventriloquism is interesting in that you're essentially writing a two-person show, but you have multiple, what is the word? I don't want to get canceled.
Dummies.
Dolls, dummies.
Wooden Americans.
Wooden Americans.
Walter.
Let's go, Walter.
Thank you, Walter.
Stand up, bro. Stand up.
When you are creating this act, how difficult is it to keep coming up with basically an ensemble conversation that's constantly happening on stage?
Right. And by the way, this is the 11th special. So
nice.
I don't know. I don't know how many. I've looked back and the only record albums that my mom would let me have when I was a kid was Bill Cosby because he was clean. And so that's the only exposure I had to stand-up comedy until whatever age. And I know that he had I think he was number one with the number of comedy albums of any comedian.
Right.
He was number one. And so I've still been trying to get my people to figure out who has the most stand-up specials. So anyway. I think I'm getting there.
That's a belt I think you could get. I know Carlin had 13 HBOs.
Oh, he did?
When Carlin died, they sold a box set of all of his HBO specials. Ron, just find that for me real quick, because that one, you're close.
Roy, you know what? That's funny. All these people that I pay all these percentages to, nobody could come up with that answer.
Oh, my God.
So take us then. You know, this is the part of the show where we talk about worst jobs and first jobs.
I'm putting Walter down here.
Thank God.
You got to hit his stare. His stare was
I'll pick it back up in a second. This is way a much more interesting conversation than I usually have.
Okay.
Sure.
Yep. The relationship between, I'll tell you a story and then you explain to me your process. So okay. I opened for ventriloquists early on in my career. And this is in the days as a road comedian, where as an opener, generally your job is to drive around the headliner because we're doing four cities in 5 days.
Right.
And this particular ventriloquist, as I know, did not have a driver's license. I don't know why he didn't have it. Whatever it was, he needed me to pick him up and drive him everywhere. And he had his Wooden American.
Yeah.
It is dummies.
Wooden American. I'm trying not to say dummy. he had his petrified American in the trunk. And we stop in Wisconsin. We're headed up to Appleton to play Skyline. And we're doing a run up there. And we stop to eat. And when we go in, he goes to the trunk of my car and pulls out the dummy and brings it into the restaurant with us and asks for a table for three and not two. And I have to sit with this ventriloquist across from his dummy. And I'm just an opener and this guy could have me fired. So I can't say shit about this. I just got to let the shit roll. The waitress is looking at us weird. But what he explained to me was I have to have a relationship with him at all times so that on stage it becomes second nature. What is your process, Jeff Dunham?
First, I want to know, is that guy still alive?
Yes, he is divorced. He drinks a lot more. Last I checked, he is still touring. I'm not here to talk shit about him and his brand, but that was a lot for a young 20-year-old. to take in a Wednesday in Wisconsin. How do you build the relationship? Because I know also that you build all of sure. your dummies. You build them. You have a full shop. You invested in basically birthing all of these.
Yeah.
These
creations. No, I've been building them for years. So, you know, it is something that the acting is a lot of this. And I love what I do more than straight monology, because I can create tension and conflict, the two most important ingredients in comedy, because the character and I can have an argument, or we can have a difference, mm-hmm. or we can have we can discuss topics that are tough to discuss or tough to talk about as a straight monologist without giving opinions or, you know. So that's what I love about what I do, is that it is a discussion. It's a little sitcom in on itself, sitting there on stage. So I think that's the reason this cancel culture that we have, I'm able to talk about those subjects, because if there's one side of it that I give, the dummy will give the other, and vice versa. And let me say my little speech here. This cancel business is just, I think it's just garbage. We've all learned a lot. We know what we can and can't joke about. But I also think that this country is a lot, and the people in it are a lot, have a better sense of humor than what the media is saying that we do. I think people have learned I think that people can tell a joke and take a joke. And when it comes to politics, I think the mistake that a lot of guys are making is that they pick a side, and then they hammer the other side and both sides do it, and call the other side idiots and morons. And that's not comedy, it's a pep rally. Right. So I try and go back to the days of Will Roger, Bob Hope, Carson, Leno, and you never knew which side they were actually on. And they made fun of the guy that was at the top. The guy on the pedestal is the one that's going to get hit with the tomatoes the most. So that's who they made fun of. And that's what I try and do. When Trump was in office, I had a hell of a lot of fun with that. And now Biden's in office, in this special, he dressed up as Trump in a bunch of my YouTube videos. And now in this special, he's dressed up like Biden, and we have fun with that. But I think people from both sides of the aisle can come to the show and have fun, because it's not mean spirited. It's just making fun of some of the goofy stuff that's going on right now.
What I find interesting about your act and some of the puppets that you have is that they cover the gamut of stuff. Like, I wonder if the fact that what you're saying is also through a puppet, through a dummy that gets people, that takes the edge off of it a little bit. Because if you, Jeff Dunham, did an impression of a black pimp, people would be wait a minute.
Hey, do you know what you're talking about there?
But when, mm-hmm. when you bring out Sweet Daddy D.
There.
Come on now.
Okay. I'm making sure, but can I tell you the story of how that game happened? Okay. So when, I was wanting to make fun of prejudice, and this was back in, I guess, my first special. Was it? Arguing with myself. 05, it was 05, I think. And I was wanting to make fun of prejudice. And I thought, to me, it would be really funny if I had a black character that was above me somehow. So we start out in the right place. So I made it
power dynamic.
Correct. My manager. Right. And so then I thought, okay, what is he though? And I honestly, I researched this as much as I could. And somehow I looked at, I'm so out of my lane here talking about this with you guys, but I hope you understand. This
oh no, you're in the right lane, bro. Come on, okay, come on. Good, no, you in the right place?
Maybe,
no.
Okay, maybe it's the wrong vehicle in the right lane.
No.
Okay.
Believe it or not, this is actually something, if I can be honest, Roy, and you know, as usual, stop me, but this is something we actually talked about before you came on, because this is something that we were concerned about how you manage. So I'm all the way in. And I'm
you got a redneck, you got a talking jalapeno, you have a terrorist. Yeah, you got
all of that stuff. Like, the fact that you even brought that up early to me is beautiful. Okay. I want to hear this.
Well, the Ahmed the Dead Terrorist, that's a whole different thing. I can talk about that all day long. But with Sweet Daddy D, what I was trying to do was create a character that I could use on stage that could make fun of me being this mm-hmm. stupid. I'm the as white as it can possibly be. I'm not this color. I'm this color. I got makeup on.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty pale.
I've been doing TV all morning, right? So I then, and this still confounds me, confuses me. I looked to a bunch of different celebrities, black celebrities.
Yeah, archetypes.
And
yeah.
Snoop Dogg was one of them. And everybody kept talking about the pimp and how revered the pimp was. And again, the reason I say I'm out of my lane here because I don't know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, but 05, that's Bishop Magic Don Juan. And
yes, that was the other guy.
That's Cat Williams is pimping.
The documentaries all came out that year. It was a lot of stuff that came out.
From a zeitgeist standpoint, I could see where that was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what everybody told me. And then I found a couple of black stand-ups. And I said, please help me with these jokes. Tell me what are the jokes about white people that you don't tell when we're not around. And I couldn't squeeze blood out of a turnip. I don't know what it was. Nobody would tell me a white joke. It's not a white joke.
Hey, Jeff, look, man, I'm going to do you a favor and let you know right now, if you ever, ever, ever have that question again, find me, brother. I will gladly tell you all the white people jokes I have that I say with no white people around me at all. But please continue. I just want you to know all my services are available.
Please tell me the best one. Please just tell me. I don't care.
But the thing about it is at the end of the day, most of the time that we make fun of white folks when y'all aren't around, it's very basic things like dancing. It's very easy to jump on that one. There's no words that need to be said a lot of times.
Okay.
A lot of times, you know, you can just look at it and be like, okay, that one right there, he needs help.
By the way, when I sculpted him, this is a funny story. So what's the guy's name? The black actor that was in all the, I'm so horrible with names. The crazy guy, the skinny one, Chris Tucker. Right. Mm-hmm. So he lived like six houses down from me. And when I was creating Sweet Daddy D, I got all 8x10s of all my favorite of faces. I do it with every character, of all the favorite black actors that I loved or comedians. And I printed 8x10s of all of them. There were like 10 guys. And I put them all across my workbench. And my workbench was in my garage. I had my garage door open. Chris Tucker comes down on his Segway. He got a new Segway. And he comes up my driveway. I see him coming. I'm like, oh, shit, there's no explaining this.
What you doing, Jeff?
So I
black people in your damn garage? I'm
like, hey. Exactly. I shut the garage door and I'm like, hey.
Don't mind me. I'm just in here looking at black people. It's fine, Chris. Don't even worry about it.
Exactly right. So anyway. So that was the end of that. But I love having this conversation because it's bothered me for a long, long time that I could not make that work. I'll tell you, the other reason it didn't work for me. It's the same reason a female character won't work for me. It's because when it would come to ad-libbing and, you know, carrying on a conversation, I couldn't get it right. I can think like a white trash guy, Bubba J. I can think like Peanut, that little crazy purple guy. I can think like most of the other characters. Even a dead terrorist, I get it because he's just angry at the world. But when it came to being a woman or a black person, I had no clue. Mm-hmm. In any given instance, if somebody asked the character a question, I wouldn't know what to say as a woman or a black guy. So it's like, this is not fun for me. I can't do it.
I respect that, man. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that.
Before we go to break, I want to just talk real quick because you're interesting in that you chose your career very early on, like elementary early on. You knew, I think it was third or fourth grade, that this is what you wanted to do. For parents out there who have a child in that same age range, how were your parents supportive or were they against you doing ventriloquism? Because I told my mom about stand-up when I was 19 and she was like, eh. But you, third, fourth grade, told your parents what you wanted to do. How did your parents pour into you to help make your dream?
Well, the first kind of on me is that I was adopted and an only child. So that set me apart a little bit from most of the other kids. The other thing was I was terrible at sports. I was not popular with the girls. I was not popular with other kids. I didn't have anything going for me. I was no good. No sports, forget it. So I got this dummy for Christmas one year and I started learning how to do ventriloquism. I did my first little book report in the third grade and then I made fun of my classmates a little bit and it was like, wow, I got some laughs. This is fun. And that's it.
You were hooked.
Yeah, that was the drug. I couldn't let go.
Well, after the break, we'll let JG flirt with Walter. And I want to hear one or two scams as well. And the homie Nerado, a.k.a. Rob, for sure, to come on like he always does to drive the show off the rails. It's a job fair. We'll be right back.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The wait is over. The Chi is back on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/TheShot to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
Job Fair, Jeff Dunham standing by for Scam of the Week. But before we do all of that, it's time to slow it down. And this is the part of the show that I love, and surprisingly, the legal department
never
doesn't really seem to have a problem with.
Ever.
Your fans.
Very shocked, but nonetheless.
Never.
It is an essential part of the program. If you're new to the show, we call this segment Breaking the Ice, where we give you, the job fair listener, a couple topics to bring up at the job with motherfuckers you can't stand and you're tired of talking to. They done told you every little mundane detail about their life, and it's about that time of year where they're showing you pictures of their dog and stupid holiday sweaters.
That's sweet.
You don't want to see that shit.
I do.
Dogs dressed up.
Give you a couple topics to
DC characters.
Help them to get them the fuck up off you. To help us do that, we call in a gentleman who was an international man of leisure, and he is the author of the New York Times bestseller, How to Bring Your Jewish Boo to Your Kwanzaa Party.
Oh, wow.
What?
Undefeated in pregnancy scares with a record of 43-0-2. He is the uncredited inventor of the hobo fruit salad, peach whiskey, and was it cherry coke?
Mm-hmm. It's a winner.
His mama named him Nerado. We call him Rod for short. Rod, guess we can officially say happy holidays to you as the floodgates have opened on Christmas season and Thanksgiving season and all of that good shit. Are you a Black Friday shopper? Are you one of those people? You don't strike me as a fall in line with commerce and
I don't like crowds, so I don't really like being out there and all that kind of shit.
But not even online? Like, you're not one of them people looking for the next deal, or do you just like...
Nah.
He said nah.
Here's a question, Rod, for the fellas. And we could save this for relationship fair in a couple weeks. Sidebar, RoyceJobFair@gmail.com. If you got some workplace drama involving romance that you want us to help sort out or that you've seen, please reach out to the show so we can get you on and get you on with Rod. Before we get into your segment, what advice would you have to men that are trying to get women to buy them expensive gifts? How do we go about doing that?
What?
Television.
That's really only one way to do that, and that's to not be a lame nigga. If you lame,
okay.
If you're a whack ass nigga, you ain't gonna get no expensive gifts. That's just how it is. You want expensive gifts for a woman, you gotta be something special. If you're not getting expensive gifts, then that should let you know how much of a regular ass nigga you are.
Preach, bro. Go ahead on and preach, bro. Preach.
Also, I would like to come down on the side of pineapple in banana pudding.
What? Wait a minute. Oh. What?
Oh, shots fired.
What?
Shots fired.
Yeah, I love
it. What do you mean?
I love that shit.
You've had that nasty trash?
That sounded like a freestyle. This is something that normally happens to banana pudding?
Yeah.
I've never ever heard banana
pudding. I've never heard of banana pudding being freestyled like
for
that.
Real? Nah, pineapple and banana pudding.
I've heard of strawberries.
Oh.
In banana pudding?
It's getting worse.
I've never heard of
but
that.
But it's like dressing, like cheesecake, like on top. Not like whipped up and mixed inside.
You don't do that.
Most of the banana pudding I've had had pineapple in them.
Mmm. That don't sound right.
It's because it's super good.
This lady at my dad's job did it the first time.
Mm.
A white lady named Susan. I remember her. And I was like, why, Susan? Why?
Shout out to Susan. She know what's up.
And then my cousin went and did that mess. No.
Your cousin got turned on to some new shit.
That doesn't seem right, but it also goes against Jacqueline's rule, right? Where she said, if you've been making it the same way the last year, you got to make it the same way every year. You can't come and throw some new shit in the mix just because you watched, you know what I'm saying, Kelly Clarkson do it.
Yeah.
Now you got to bring it to the table. You know what I'm saying? She ain't about that life.
It's kind of like when you have ham in the collard green.
I love
it
ham in the collard green.
Whole slices of pineapple in there. It's like minuscule. It's okay. Like it's almost blended in. It's just the most.
So just a little twang. It's a little bite.
Yeah, like every bite has like two strands, like a hair strand of fucking pineapple. That shit good.
No, it's not. I'm not talking to you, Rick.
We bring Rod on this program to give you topics to break the ice. Rod, I turn it over to you, good sir.
Black people, this holiday season, we've got something great going on. We might want to get Draymond Green and Jordan Poole to check this out. In 1997, Mike Tyson was in a boxing match with Evander Holyfield, and he bit his ear twice. Tyson bit a part of Holyfield's ear off, and he was disqualified. It's pretty much effectively the end of Mike Tyson's boxing career. But 25 years later, Mike Tyson, who is a big-time cannabis user, and he has his own company, he and Evander Holyfield are partnering to release Holy Ears. Oh. Weed gummies shaped like ears.
What?
Oh, this is brilliant.
That's right, man.
I support this.
These brothers have come back to the table, and they've become good friends. And now they can both laugh at it all these years later. If you remember that fight, or check it out on YouTube or something. Holyfield wasn't laughing when this shit happened 25 years ago.
He was not laughing at all when it happened 25 years ago. Oh,
that was some, as far as sports beefs go, that was one of the more serious ones.
It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen in sports.
Like, those two coming together, oh my God, I'm looking at the picture. Thank you, Rhonda. Wait, Rod, you didn't say that the gummy was shaped like Holyfield's ear with the chunk missing.
Yeah, he did. That's what makes it.
You just said ear shaped. I thought just an ear, but no, there is a distinct part, like the mold to make this gummy.
Holyfield's ear.
Oh yeah. This is brilliant. And Rod, am I wrong, brother? Or did Tyson say some shit like, if he would have been on cannabis, he wouldn't have bit off the ear?
Yeah.
Didn't he say something like, if he was on cannabis, he wouldn't have bit off the ear?
Mike Tyson said several times, if he was doing mushrooms and things like that back then like he is now, he'd have been a lot calmer.
So that was a marketing talking point. Okay, got it. Whatever.
No, he's been saying this long before.
He's serious. He said it in a while, yeah.
Yeah, he talks about therapy and meditation. Yeah. And, you know, Tyson's a very cerebral dude
the last
now.
15 years, he's been smoking weed, going to therapy, doing mushrooms and shit. The dude has got himself together, man. It's a beautiful thing.
Jacqueline, Mike Tyson be crying on camera at least two, three times a year in some interview.
He cried. I love his podcast because he cries.
Agreed.
Hot boxing is the
and
name.
And it's always after, like, saying some of the weirdest shit on the face of the planet.
Yeah, he'll go off on a deep tangent. Yeah. Yo. His tangents be wild.
They'll be talking about fruit or something. And they'll be like, yeah, I like peaches. Yeah, I don't really like peaches. I like plums. And then Mike Tyson will just bust in like, what if peaches and plums taste so sour to you sometimes because we're all unworthy of the love of God? And then he'll just start crying. And he'll say, what the fuck is going on?
He will just take a left turn. And it's his podcast. You ain't going to tell him shut the fuck up.
You ain't going to tell him shut the fuck up anyway. It's Mike Tyson. He said the hell he want to say. Stoned or sober. Say what you want to say, Mike. You good.
All right, let's flip it up for the people, Rod.
On the other side for white people, this is another callback to something we talked about before several times. We keep trying to get Roy these different jobs hosting shows. And I really wish they would have let you host Jeopardy, because maybe this wouldn't have happened.
Ooh, bruh.
Recently, on an episode of Celebrity Jeopardy, there was a clue given, and it was one of those classic, I don't know how this made it through, you know, all the avenues it had to go through, but everybody involved should be fired. The answer to this clue was, what are alligators?
Okay. The question was what?
In 2021, fugitive Brian Laundrie ended his days in Florida's Miyakachi Creek area, home to these long and toothy critters.
What?
How you do that, bro?
Brian Laundrie, who is infamous for committing suicide in that creek after him and his girlfriend, Gabby Petito, went on a cross-country trip in the summer of 2021, and he murdered that girl. And Jeffrey decided to use him as a clue to get a motherfucker to say alligators.
You know what I felt about Jeopardy for a long time is that the questions have caught up to present day. I remember growing up watching Jeopardy, and every answer was from the 1850s or early.
Yeah.
I watch Jeopardy now, I'd be like, shit, I might could win this bitch. I didn't got about seven questions.
I'm trying to tell you.
Why are y'all watching that?
What do you mean, why are we watching it?
I like Jeopardy.
We're not watching Jeopardy.
Why? Because they didn't hire LeVar Burton?
No, because they didn't hire Roy Wood Jr.
They told you in the email they wasn't hiring no comedian.
I don't care what they told me.
They said, fuck us as a genre. I was That's what they told my agent. They said comedians would drive the show away from, I don't remember, I read it on
air. From it? So they said comedians will drive the show away from the intellectual side, and then they let Blossom go in this motherfucker.
Thank you.
Talking about
you.
A killer who committed suicide.
Now
it's Jeopardy time, TMZ, bro, for the questions. You know what I'm saying?
This we're is like not literally. Gonna put that on Mayim Balik. We're not gonna put that on.
Blossom
She read it.
She ain't.
It was Blossom.
She ain't looking at them questions before she go out there anymore. Than Steve Harvey know what the fuck
she
gonna happen on camera?
She is a certified intellectual. She is definitely looking at those questions.
I don't know how that made it through.
Y'all are crazy.
Goddamn, the channels, the chain of command, but they should have been shut down immediately.
Correct.
Yeah, ASAP.
I agree.
ASAP. I'm with Ryan 100% on this one.
That is insane.
That was crazy.
I know that Jeopardy has to remain fresh and young, and I think that quiz shows are only as good as the viewer thinks that they could win. That's why Wheel of Fortune's still on the air, because you sit at home and go, I'm smarter than them, motherfucker. I should be on the show. So you need that element of, I know what the hell, but I think in some regards, maybe Jeopardy is skewed a little too current, but adding crime to the mix, I don't think that's it.
Yeah, both Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie's family said this shit was outrageous.
It was wild. I don't understand. That's work.
Bro, there's so many ways to get the alligators. What the hell were they thinking?
New England Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez murdered Odin Lloyd in this hamlet just outside the capital of Rhode Island. What is Providence?
That's insane.
They could have just said, what the fuck is the capital of Rhode Island?
Everybody in there had to be on cocaine for that question to make it to the name show. How do you let that through?
His mama named him Rado. We call him Rod for short. The podcast is Uncle Rod Story Corner. Rod, we bid you a happy holidays, and we will leave you to your banana pudding with blueberries inside of it.
Hey, pineapple and banana pudding. I'm telling you, check it out before you dismiss it. I promise you, that's the only way you're gonna eat it from here on out.
Stop moving people in a bad direction in their lives.
I'm trying to help everybody.
You say it again. I'm going to say exactly what I'm thinking right now.
Oh, I'm shaking in my boots on that one.
Yeah. Thank you as always, Rod. I think scam of the week time. We welcome Jeff Dunham back to the program. Jeff, do you like pineapples in your banana pudding?
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, what?
Jeff?
Have you heard of this? Jeff, you're from Texas.
Yeah.
You're from down that way.
What about it?
Pineapples in banana. Apparently at Jacqueline's Thanksgiving get-togethers, she has family members who hate her, and they put pineapples in banana pudding.
Pineapple in what?
Thank
banana,
you, Jeff.
Bananas with pineapples.
In a salad?
Jeff, let it go.
In pudding.
Let it go.
In pudding.
In pudding? Pineapples in banana. Okay, bananas, okay. Pineapples in pudding? That's not right.
Thank you.
No,
we welcome back on the program Jeff Dunham. His comedy special premieres November 25th. Jeff Dunham, Me the People on Comedy Central. After that, it'll be on the Paramount Plus app. Also with Jeff now. So the homie Walter.
I'm sorry. I had to come back to this story about being screwed at a comedy club.
Oh.
JG, do you have any questions for Walter real quick before we get into this?
I do. I'm just curious, Walter, could Jeff really build me out like a shelf? Because he's obviously good at building things.
Could you build a shelf? Yeah, yeah. But the weird part is it would talk.
Oh.
Okay, so let me tell you this story real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so there's a comedy club that shall go nameless, but it was in Boston, and it was on top of Faneuil Hall. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, anyway. Yeah, the food hall. Yeah, downtown.
Yeah, Faneuil Hall. And this place seated easily 500 people. And I know that because we were selling out and every night. And I went to the owner and I said, so how many are we getting here in here every night? And he goes, oh, yeah, 350. You're selling out. I'm like, okay, there's more than 350 seats in here. I think there's about 500 seats. And he goes, oh, no, no. He goes, well, no, there's not that many. I said, okay. Then the next day I went back and I went, I counted the seats. There's 500 seats in here. And he goes, you did? I go, yeah, it's 500, almost exactly 500 seats. And he goes, well, we don't, you know, you can't put, you know, you got a three people come in and you got a four top. There's no way we sell all those seats. I'm like, yeah, I don't see an empty seat in the house. You're ripping me off. He goes, no, there's no way. And this is like the fifth time I've been there, right?
Really?
So I'm on stage on Saturday night, you know, first show, completely sold out. And I get through my, you know, supposed to do an hour. I get through 55 minutes. I said, folks, we've had a great time tonight. Have you? Yay. I want you to do me a favor. We have a little discrepancy of how many people are here tonight. I want you to be honest about this. We're going to count off one at a time.
Oh,
only say one number.
Shit.
Only say one number, one at a time. Thanks. I'm just curious of how many of you are in here. Will you help me out?
Yes.
So that room numbered one at a time. The owner in the back of the club, act, he's a good friend of mine. He goes, what is he doing? He goes, and Gary goes, he's counting off the room.
Respect.
So we got to 498.
Wow.
Oh yeah. And so he's like, you can't tell anybody this because then all the other comedians are gonna know. I'm like, I, you know. And so he wanted to pay me, I don't know, but I was honest. Cash I had money. To go back and tell my agents, and yeah, he hated me for many years after that.
Club owners will do slick shit too. They'll say it's sold out, then they'll bring in club. I'll say this openly. It's a club in San Diego where once you get on stage, they bring empty chairs in from the bar to put in the room to make it look like you didn't sell out.
Oh, I used to, it got what? To where I was taking, when digital cameras came out, I would go into the top of the balcony and take pictures of the room and then start counting off, like on a piece of paper. And I would get in screaming arguments. Oh, on Sundays, it was just, and wow. I was supposedly this nice guy. I was not nice when it came to that because I was being ripped off right and left. I'll tell you what one club did. They said, okay. Look, here's the computer printout. I go, it's a lie. He goes, this is a computer, it can't lie. I go, you're lying. He goes, okay. We have two sets of numbers. And then they would pay me the one check for what was on the computer and then give me cash for what was off the books.
Wow.
Cooking the books.
Running game.
Wow.
I know you have to go, Brother Dunham. I have a final question for you with regards to the respect for your craft within the scope of performance and stand-up comedy. You are, to me, like there's this thing where ventriloquism is always treated as this annex of stand-up for a while, kind of like the way they try to do piano acts, or I'd say Penn and Teller. Early on, we're like, oh, you're in the magician wing or you're over there. But I feel like you've transcended that into this bigger, just straight up comedian. When people talk about stand up comedy, your name is associated with stand up comedy, not ventriloquism. How much disrespect did you deal with early on? And did that ever change? And do you think that has changed for young ventriloquists? I've met a couple on the road when I'm at doing stuff with The Daily Show. I meet young kids and, you know, they bring you up. They bring up Willie Tyler and Lester, who we've mentioned on this show before.
Many times.
Like, what was the respect like early on for you?
Well, let me ask you a question. What is it now for them? Do they say that they don't get disrespect, or is it still there?
It seems like the younger ones have a harder time getting stage time because the clubs don't respect them. They look at it as a shtick, but instead of looking at it, I think that ventriloquists, much like magicians and people who do hybrid forms of stand-up, they have to find their own spaces to create and grow and then migrate back into the traditional
it was really tough. I mean, even when I was a headlining act, you know, I'd find epitaphs written on the wall. I got Stand Up Comedy of the Year in 97, and man, did people hate that. But really? that was club owners voting on the comics, and whoever was selling tickets is who they nominate. But no, yeah, it was tough, especially moved out to Los Angeles in 88, and you know, I'd be up on stage, and you know, I was always the middle act, and forget about Melrose, man, that's a tough house for somebody like me to have played the improv. But yeah, it was tough, and I still have letters, rejection letters from comedy clubs. Nah, he won't be our headliner. We can make him our middle act and pay him, you know, $250 for the week. It's like, yeah, okay. So it was a while, and it took a long time. And I appreciate very much what you said, Roy. I don't take any of this for granted at all. Just some great audiences and some good people along the way that have been at the right place at the right time and helped me out. So it was tough, and now it's more fun, but it is, I think it's a little bit more difficult now because you come out with one album and you got to come out with your next album, and it better be as good as your last one. So you know, with all those specials, that's a boatload of material, and it's good and bad, but it's great.
Of all the people that travel with you, how much do they weigh collectively, and how much does Walter weigh?
Why are you thotting for Walter so much? Stop
fighting. I have a grandmother who's single, thank you.
That's great. I have no idea what their weight is. You know, I have no idea.
What are your bag fees?
How much is it cost?
My bag fees?
Yeah.
You know, I don't flag commercial.
Excuse me. Excuse me, Jeff. Excuse me.
No way. There's a good reason for that. There's no way that we could do the schedule that we do and the dates that we play if I flew commercial, because all the dummies and all the crap. I mean, I have trunks and everything, but our production's pretty big. I mean, we have two 18 wheelers. We have two tour buses, one for the crew, and it's a rock and roll show. So we carry all our own lights and sound and video and audio and all that stuff. So, but you know what?
That's dope.
I want to call this the no inflation tour, because we've kept my tickets down in price so everybody can enjoy it. I don't understand the Taylor Swift thing. She's worth what, $500 million? Why are you charging $850 a ticket? You don't
this
need
is why we can't have nice things.
There you go. Well, so we've kept my tickets at 50, 60, 65 bucks, 70 bucks. And a lot of other comics are, with inflation, raising them up. But I just believe in the McDonald's approach. You keep it inexpensive and you'll get more people and you'll make it up in volume.
This is the 11th special, premiering November 25th, Me the People. We look forward to specials 12, 13, 15 through 18, and special number 25.
Thank you, sir. Well, I'm getting to Carlin's collection very soon to see what see how many numbers I got to go to.
I know it's more than 11, but okay. I think it's more than 13 or 14. I think. I'm pretty
just
sure. You're in Carlin territory, brother, and I love you, and I appreciate everything you've been doing. Thank you very much, Jeff Dunham, for being part of Job Fair.
Thank you, guys.
Flirting
with Walter.
You're about to ask him, does Walter have some meat? Do you make
Walter? You're invited to Thanksgiving dinner, Walter. I'm just saying.
I just want to hear some white jokes at some point, please.
Oh, man. Yeah, we can refuse some episodes that you can listen to where we definitely have some white people jokes.
Great. I would love that.
And in fact, hey, Roy, you know, we ought to do our white people-ologists. We ought to introduce him to Rod.
No, we don't have time. We'll let Rod meet Sweet Rod Baby D next time.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you guys very much. It's a pleasure. Peace. All right.
After the break, we are going to talk with a wonderful, wonderful brother. You know, them was jokes, but let's get into a little bit of danger. A guy who... You see all them reporters that be out there in them war-torn areas getting shot at? Mm-hmm. He's the liaison who gets him there. We're going to holler at Brian after the break. It's a Job Fair. We'll be right back.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The wait is over. The Chi is back on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/TheShot to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
Job fair. Rounding third, headed for home. You know why the government isn't seen as a sexy job? It's because, like, you ever met somebody work for the government? They're like, they're just so chill. Like, nobody's like, the government, fuck yeah. But the people who have good government jobs, they don't say shit because they don't want you to know about them because they're trying to keep all the good jobs to themselves. It's an interesting job because, you know, as you said earlier, JG, once you work for the government, it's very hard to get fired.
Absolutely.
You got to really be fucking up. Like, you got to snort a lot of cocaine.
On your desk, in the office.
You could be sleep at your desk. Sleep. As long as you get the work done, they're not going to fire you.
So let's go on down to Mississippi and meet somebody down there in Mississippi. I think this is only the second person we've had from Mississippi on the show. Well, Dead Body Sue.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sue.
Dead Body Sue from Mississippi. So who do we have on the line, JG?
We welcome civil servant Brian to the show. Brian is based in Long Beach, Mississippi, and works as a public affairs officer for the Department of Defense. Today, he's going to talk to you, Roy, about what it's like to be a communications liaison between the government and the general public, including his experience dealing with the media in Afghanistan and Iraq. Hello, Brian.
Hello. Hello. Hey, I'm glad to be calling into you from Mississippi, but I really hate the fact that the only other person from Mississippi that you've ever talked to was, what would Dead Body Sue? Is that?
She was a wonderful person. She's a wonderful person.
It's a scary name.
she represented Mississippi pretty well.
Oh, no, she didn't name herself that. We call her.
Yes, gotcha.
She works around dead bodies and her name is Sue. So we just combined the shit.
Okay. Still a little scary, but...
Sure. Now, before we do anything else, man, tell us about your work. Tell us about your job podcast, Work Sucks. I understand you started a podcast.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a little personal side project that I do after hours. Kind of have to say that so the government doesn't say, hey, what's he doing on that?
You really do work for the government, don't you? He cleared that off the grip. That's the government folks I'm used to right there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Gotta get my disclaimer in there. Nice. Yeah. It's called Work Sucks. You can find it on all of the major podcast platforms that are out there. And basically, I just interview somebody every so often, to, you know, whether it's a bad boss, bad coworkers, dealing with Karens, dealing with workplace safety violations, all that kind of stuff.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this. Public affairs officer, your job is to make sure that shit is sweet between the government and the public and disseminating the message from the government to the people in a way that's palpable and understandable and easy to communicate, not only with the public, but also with other media outlets.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way to say that. So my job on a daily basis is, I guess it's more like 3 to 4 parts is the media relations and outreach side. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of public affairs officers that you can either be proactive or reactive. I happen to be a proactive one. I like to reach out to our media outlets and just let them know what's going on. Be transparent. Let them know that we're being good stewards of taxpayers' dollars, that we're not hiding things from them. I try to get the media on the base as much as possible. I work at the Naval Construction Battalion Center in Gulfport right now, Gulfport, Mississippi. So it's a pretty good environment. But the second part of my job, besides the media relations, the second part of my my job is more like a community relations. We do tours, we do speaking engagements from anything from like civic organizations to like schools. We'll go out to classrooms, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So then it's not only about delivering a message for the, that the Navy wants delivered to the public, but also, you know, piping down any confusion that may have come from, you know, misinformation. What is it like doing this job from a war zone or from an area where that, because, you know, ISIS is always around the corner.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I did a USO tour in 2014 and we literally we could see the fire. This is 6 months before they took Baghdad. Mm-hmm. We were at an Apache helicopter base doing jokes and you could see the smoke and shit coming up off the, like, the motherfuckers is on the way. So
no, I'm good.
When you're working
good
over
I'm
that
glad you made
way,
it back.
When I think about the jokes I told, those jokes weren't even worth getting shot at for. These jokes I got now, these jokes is worth fucking
catching a bullet ISIS. Or two for it, right?
Yeah,
but before.
I apologize to that Apache helicopter battalion. I'm sorry.
You know what, though? Yeah. You know what, Roy? I've been on the receiving end of having a comedian come out to when I was in like the middle of just the worst possible situation I could think of. And then we have a singer or a comedian. I don't care if that singer couldn't hold a tune in a bucket. I still appreciated so much because for that 5 minutes they sang that song, I got to think about something else besides what was outside my gate. Mm-hmm. I had to escort media out in the battlefield several times and it got hairy times. Baby. And the worst one was Jane's Defense Weekly. This little tiny little wispy kind of British lady, not even 100 pounds soaking wet. And we got into a big firefight and she got down in the floorboard of our Humvee and just screamed and cried the whole time. And I kept her safe. And we got out of there. Now we lost some people, but I got her out of there. My job was to get the media out of there and I got her out of there safe. And I'm pretty sure she went home within a week and quit. Stopped being a journalist. I didn't want to be a foreign correspondent anymore because it was so traumatic for her. But she got an amazing story out of it. She still told the story. She got an amazing story and said, "Nope, my family's too important. I can't risk it anymore."
Yeah. There's a lot of correspondents that are losing their lives right now, especially when we talk about what's happening with Russia and the Ukraine.
Yeah.
That's definitely foreign journalists covering active conflict. It's another level of balls.
It's a rough life. There was many times where we had journalists that got, if not killed, injured severely, where they're going back without all their limbs. Yeah.
No. I was at a certain point in an early career at a radio place I will not mention, where they basically were like, if you want to move ahead in your career, we're going to have to embed you for Desert Storm. And I was like, no, it's not, you know, like they don't play about when you do certain levels of journalism, they have to embed you. They have to put you in.
Yeah.
But they tell you off the top, we can't guarantee you're going to come back. I'm reporting a story, sir. I'm not dying from a country. I can't do it. That's a lot. You know what I'm saying? That's a heavy job, man.
Sebastian Younger was the author. He's written several big books. Perfect Storm is one of them. But he's also a journalist and a very talented journalist and writer and everything. And he went out there with one of his photographers and the photographer kind of wandered off to get a shot into a active minefield and stepped on a mine. And it's that kind of thing. It's not always a hostile fire. It's just sometimes things happen. In Iraq, we had a guy that was out covering a story. Wasn't even any hostels nearby, and he the heat and the having the extra body armor and stuff on, and it's just the lifestyle. He wasn't prepared for it, and he jumped off of a tank and was doing like this walk up to camera type thing, and just fell over dead because of a heart attack. And there's a lot of things that can happen to journalists, and so it's my job when I'm escorting them is to make sure that those things don't happen, or at least I can try to mitigate it as much as possible.
You know, Brian, I got to tell you, my man. Look, I'm gonna be flat out with you, my man. I'm black. All right. And my big fear was that I was going to go over there and get embedded, and they were going to kidnap my black ass, and there was going to be nobody negotiating to get me the hell up out.
Go kidnap.
They will kidnap you. They will kidnap a journalist. They definitely would have gave my ass back. I ain't fronting. I'm hoping that they gave me back.
Anybody that look like us, because ain't nobody coming. How much you make, Brian?
How much do I make now? So I'm a GS-12, and I've been a GS-12 for quite some time. I'm a step 5, so with the locality pay and all that stuff for this area, I'm right at, I guess I average don't about 90 grand.
Hey, man, don't put your money out there, man. She do this every time, son.
Right, that's what the average salary starting is, Jacqueline. So rude, Brian.
And then she looked him. You saw that, right?
No,
she asked the shit and then bully looked him. Like, what?
I'm a government employee. It's public record. So I average about 90 grand. But I'm leaving Mississippi pretty soon to go in about 2 weeks. I'm leaving Mississippi to go to Okinawa, Japan.
Oh, dope.
I found out that it's very lucrative to be a government civilian overseas because they pay your rent and your utilities and then pay your salary on top of that.
Okay, yeah, they sure do.
Well, man, you can turn Uncle Sam into a sugar daddy. I like this. Brian, thank you so much for everything that you're doing, and thank you for delivering the messages to the media to get the word out on what's going on in that world. Thank you. The podcast is Work Sucks. You can download it wherever you download this fine podcast. Thank you so much for Brian for coming.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. Konnichiwa.
That's the show. Roy's Job Fair is a product of iHeartMedia, Paramount, South Park, and Princeton Productions. Jacqueline, I've said this before, you are a woman of layers.
What do you mean?
Didn't need to know that you wanted to have sex with a puppet.
Whatever.
Here we are.
Since when?
Thurston.
Whatever.
Oh, man.
You all wouldn't talk to Walter, and that was rude. Someone of his age expects to be talked to as well.
Listen, now we're not finna get. You almost made me say something.
Eye contact was freaking me out. I'm gonna talk to him. Not the old man.
Yeah, I talked. We had what? Jeff Dunham. We had a whole ass I'm Jeff Dunham on the show. Man. I don't talk to Walter the sidekick. Tour name after Jeff Dunham.
Walter was interesting.
Sound like Jeff Dunham need to make you a second Walter. Let me. We'll do a wooden sex doll episode.
Jacqueline's wooden.
I'm not gonna. But I'm thinking
the whole episode.
I got a terrible thought in my head.
Oh, so many splinters in that place. God, but I think that's a good place to stop.
No clue what to say.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.